What an honor and a privilege it is to share communion with Christians, to remember Christ together in that peculiar way. Many of us get weary, we get distracted, we get discouraged because we don't stay focused on Him who suffered for us. In His suffering, the Bible said, lay aside every weight and sin. See, everything's not a sin, but there are things that get in the way. Someone said the other way, show me where in the Bible that's a sin. I said, I can't show you where that's a sin, but I can tell you it's in the way. And if it's in the way, it's one of those weights and the sin that does so easily what beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I thought initially that was, God give me power, God give me strength, God give me power, God give me strength. And it said, consider Him in this way. Consider Him who suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint in your own mind. Every time I'm weary, I'm thinking of me, I guarantee it. Every time I get weary and well-doing, every time I get tired, fatigued, wore out, wore down, wore thin, I'm thinking about me, my pain, my pressure, my problem. But every time I focus on Him, I begin to, it transcend me, eclipse me. Amen. Jesus dying on the cross for me makes me forget about me and just want to praise Him. And I feel that strength come again, that faith come alive. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's why I'm where I am today, still preaching the gospel. The only reason is because I'm looking to Jesus who suffered for me. Amen. Praise God. What a wonderful Savior we serve today. Amen. The same night He was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it. Would you break the wafer, please? To signify what was going to happen to His physical body before He finally died on the cross. This bread represents the broken body of Jesus to us, that we might remember His sacrifice in our behalf. You may eat the bread and remember Him. He took the cup, lifted it up, and said, this is the new covenant in My blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you drink this cup, you do proclaim, you show the Lord's death till He come. Here we are, 21st century, doing exactly what they did after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, breaking bread together. You may drink the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, briefly. Listen carefully. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Can you say amen? Amen. The New International translates this a living hope, and that's exactly how it should be translated. We have a living hope because we have a living Lord. Can you say amen? The Bible said He's able to save them and us to the uttermost, seeing that He ever lives to make intercession. And when Jesus intercedes, He doesn't just pray to the Father. He presents Himself before the Father's throne. And when He presents Himself as our high priest, He doesn't just bring an offering. He declares Himself as the Lamb of God, the sin offering. And He has the scars in His hands and His feet and His side. And He presents Himself before the Father in our behalf. You're saved and kept today because the Son of God ever lives to make what? intercession for you. You know what that means? Without him pleading his own blood and body in your behalf and mine, no one could live pure enough. No one could be good enough. Not a person. That's why we declare it's through his body and his shed blood that we're saved. That's what Holy Communion is declaring. If he hadn't gone to the cross, if he hadn't accomplished what he accomplished on the cross, no one could enter in to the heavenly city. Amen? Not a person. I read a scripture, almost threw me on that when I first got saved. It said in the book of Revelation, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have the right to enter in the gates into the city and to eat of the tree of life. And initially I thought, if I can keep every commandment perfectly, then I'll have the right to enter the city. But his command to us is to receive Christ as our Savior, to confess our sins and receive Jesus as our Savior. Can you say amen? Because no one can keep the Ten Commandments. The law made no man perfect, because no man could perfectly keep the law. In fact, the Bible said it was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was to actually convince us of our need for a Savior. And some of those religious people of that day were hard to be convinced, and the Apostle Paul was one of them. Because he said, boy, I had credentials. He said, I was a Jew of the Jew. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised the eighth day according to the law. And while we're talking about the law, and listen to this big mouth, self-righteous guy. Amen. Have you ever met a big mouth, self-righteous people? Yes. I've met them. Amen. My mama used to say, you're cruising for a bruising. Can you say amen? They're cruising for a bruising. For when a man says, behold, I stand, he better take heed lest he fall. Listen carefully. This is not license to sin. What shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Amen. This is not license to sin. This is understanding, appreciating, and appropriating grace through what Jesus did at Calvary. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. This is a wonderful privilege to be a Christian today and to know that you're saved through faith. You're saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. It is not of works. Works clarify, qualify. They confirm salvation has occurred. But the works in and of themselves is not what saves you. It's always going back to the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said the resurrection means that that blood literally was accepted by God. That sacrifice accepted. If Jesus didn't raise, his blood was not pure enough for God to accept. So it validates what he did on the cross. He was crucified for our sins, but he was raised for our justification. And that's a forensic term. It's a judicial term. I had jury duty lately in a criminal trial, and I'm going to tell you, they can lampoon this judge thing all they want to, but there's nobody in there taking it lightly when you're standing before someone who can adjudicate justice. And if you're a criminal, you need a real good defense lawyer, because the judge is bound by the law. No matter what the judge's emotions may do, the judge is bound to uphold the law and to adjudicate the law. And I looked at the guy that we were going to, all we were going to do is say guilty or not guilty of the crime. But the judge was going to determine the sentence. And you know what the Bible said about Jesus? It said, we have an advocate with the Father. That means there's someone standing there in our behalf before the judge of the universe. And his name is Jesus. And he doesn't just speak up for us. He shows his wrist. He shows his feet. He shows his side. Amen. He's able to save them to the uttermost, to the furthest. In other words, you can't get more saved than he can save you. can't do something else to make yourself more forgiven or more accepted. In fact, the Bible said God has made us accepted in the Beloved. Praise God. Hallelujah. Accepted means to be highly favored and highly honored. Amen. Isn't it good to know that when we look into His face, we're not going to see the stern judge looking back at us. Amen. We're going to see a loving Father that said, I love you. I know that you are mine. Your sins have been forgiven. Christ has died for you, and I receive you as my own children. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He was raised for our justification. That means in the highest court of the universe, the judge of all flesh has pronounced us not guilty. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. The Bible said that Jesus was raised for our justification, crucified for our sin debt, but raised, amen, to validate the fact that God has accepted His sacrifice. You know, the devil is an accuser of the brethren. You've got two accusers. Well, you got three. You got people that will accuse. There's always people that are going to accuse you. You will never come to a place where somebody won't find fault with you. Amen? I told someone, you know, if you say anything or you do anything, they're going to criticize you. Only way you can escape criticism is to not say anything or do anything. And the guy I was telling it to said, no, you're wrong. Then they'll criticize you for not saying anything or doing anything. Amen. Amen. It's going to happen. They criticized Jesus and He was perfect. Amen. In fact, they said He hath a devil. And He did His works by Beelzebub, who is the prince of devil or the lord of death. Put Him on a cross as a blasphemer and nailed Him to it. And Jesus stayed on it. And He took it. He took it. Because that's how much God... See, I used to believe Jesus loved us enough. He went to the cross. God, He don't even like us. But He has to accept us. For God so loved the world. He sent. He gave. When it said He gave, it didn't mean that He sent Him to lie in a manger and evoke sweet, loving emotions. Jesus didn't come to lay in a manger. He was born laid in a manger, but His destiny, His mission was the cross. And that's why one of the gifts that they brought Him was that you put upon a body when you prepare it for burial. Amen. The gold is understandable. The frankincense is understandable. But what about the myrrh? It was for one thing and one thing only. It was to prepare a body for burial. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. And the wise men, the kings, the magi, they knew exactly this little baby is going to pay a sin debt somehow by laying down His life. So one of the appropriate gifts for His mama, who's going to lose her son at 33 years of age, amen, is something to rub on His body when they prepare Him for burial. And I want you to know this is a bittersweet story, the whole story of Christ, because He came. That's why when John saw Him, he didn't declare Him just to be prophet or priest or king. You know what he said? Behold, the Lamb of God, that what taketh away the sin of the world. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have. We've got an enemy. One of our accusers is not only people. You'll always find that. But you've got an accuser in your conscience. Your own conscience. My dad was in church his whole life. He died at 93. I spent 3 years as his caregiver. Literally caregiver. Day in and day out. Every single day without exception. I was either on the phone. Most of the time I was there in person bringing him something. Or just being an encouragement to him. Or helping him with whatever he needed help with. Or picking up prescriptions. Or doctor's appointments. Or groceries. Or cleaning the apartment. Or just lifting him up. Dad grew up in church. But his conscience wouldn't quit condemning him because he grew up without an understanding of grace. He didn't get it And because of that, he was tormented in his mind. Amen. Until very near the last, Dad began to get it. And he told me, he said, Bobby, when we just talk about the Bible and these things, and sometimes I thought it was in vain just trying to get it through. But after a while, he said, I've learned more in the last year and a half with you as my caregiver talking to me about the Bible than I did all those years I was in church. I think that's sad, but I'm also glad that he did learn something. And that is that he was saved because of what Jesus did on the cross. Can you say amen? He couldn't go back and live his life differently. He couldn't go back and be a better witness or a better servant or this or that. But he could rely on what Jesus did at Calvary. And he did begin to rely on that. And when he did, he said, you know, the devil comes. And by the way, here's the third accuser, and that's the devil himself. Amen. You need a clear conscience today. You don't, oh, listen to me. Amen. The Bible spoke of our conscience being cleansed. Can you say amen? There's a cleansing of the conscience when you become conscious of the blood of Jesus that was shed for you. Praise God. Your past is gone. Amen. The Bible said that he took our sins and nailed them to his cross. Our sins have been nailed with Christ to the cross. And you had to understand the ancient custom of that day, because they would take a piece of paper, write down all of the crimes that you were accused of. And if the judge acquitted you of all of those crimes, to prove that you were acquitted, they took the piece of paper with all of the crimes that you've committed and they nailed it to the wall. And that meant you're forgiven. And the Bible said that our sins were nailed to the wall, literally, when Jesus was nailed to the cross. Isn't that incredible? That we could stand here today forgiven to that degree. Hallelujah. And go to bed with a clean conscience and not let our own conscience accuse us, because we have been washed. We have been sanctified. Here's the courtroom term, the forensic term. We have been justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cleansed. Sanctified. Justify. Forensic term, courtroom talk. Hallelujah. It's good to know that Jesus has accomplished this through his death and his resurrection. It took both to save you. Both of them. But he did both of them. His blood was accepted. Hallelujah. And we can shout. We don't have to wait to see. When I first went to church, and my dad's understanding was kind of like we're going to be weighed in the balance. You know, like Nebuchadnezzar was. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. We're going to take all your good stuff and put over here, and all your bad stuff and put over there, and then let the scales determine whether you go to heaven or hell. I'm glad it's not that way. Can you say amen? I'm glad it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad he paid the price. Hallelujah. I want to live for him with every fiber of my being. I want to serve him as a faithful servant. I do not want to be enslaved by sin. Can you say amen? But I'm so glad today that it is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You got an accuser. You know what Satan means? The actual word, devil rather, in the New Testament. Diablos is the Greek. And in the Greek it means accuser. Maligner. Someone who accuses you. No, angels ascend and descend. Jacob saw it like a ladder. We call it Jacob's ladder. He saw a portal between heaven and earth and angels ascending and descending. And the message of that was that God is involved in the affairs of men. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You know what it said about you guys sitting in here that are saved? You know what the Bible said? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. That's why we got double doors. You thought it was because of fire code, didn't you? So we could all get out. No, it's so all the angels can get in. Hallelujah. Praise God. They are here today. I'm not trying to psych you out or, you know, but I'm telling you, if you came here, they had to come here because they encamp round about them that fear the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And why do we have angelic help and presence? Because we have that standing with God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So the Bible said that because of this standing, And this portal that's opened in heaven. Back in the book of Job, we see this portal. Angels are ascending to get their instructions from God of what they're to do here. And there's an angel that has been kicked out of heaven, banned from heaven, that shows up. He kind of blended in. And God allowed him to. God knew. He didn't pull something over God's eyes. Nothing hid from him. Sees the end from the beginning. Saw him coming. But he let him come. Let him come right in his presence and said, "What are you doing here?" And this is the only time he let him back in that place for that time to prove a point. So, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I came to talk to you about all those people you love." He said, "There's not a man or woman down there that would serve you for naught. Serve you because of you and not what you can do for them. Not a one of them. There's not one of them will serve you if there isn't something in the immediate sense that you can do for them. Give me a Mercedes and I'll serve you. Give me an Escalade and I'll give in the offering. It won't serve you for you." He's the accuser of the brethren. You know what God said? He said, "Have you considered my servant Job? A perfect man." Now we know he wasn't sinlessly perfect, but we knew that he was perfectly committed to serving God. And listen, tells us something, doesn't it? No matter how perfectly committed you are to serving God, you will never be able to do it perfectly. You can have that heart, but you got a flesh to deal with. And to show that you can't be perfect that way, you have to crucify the flesh in order to follow Christ. Take up your cross to follow. Now, before you get real scared here today about God using you to prove a point, I don't think he can say that about most of us. I'm not perfect. How about you? I do like the sign. I hate the sign that says the end of your search for the perfect church. They should have a disclaimer down at the bottom if that does exist somewhere, which it doesn't. And say, if you ever find the perfect church, don't join it. You will ruin it for everybody else. But I do like the sign that says the perfect church for imperfect people. And I believe that's not just a denomination or an organization. I believe the true church is representative of imperfect people that have been perfectly forgiven and saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And now serve him because they love him and appreciate him for what he's done. Can you say amen today? He was raised for our courtroom term, justification. Praise God. I didn't get to vote. I didn't know. They don't tell you if you're an alternate juror. So criminal trial that lasted for a while, I didn't get to vote. But I knew how I would cast my vote. Everybody knew. The poor guy was guilty. And if he had stolen from me like he stole from this person and pushed him down to get a key to get in to steal this lady, if he pushed my wife down to get in to steal, I know what you'd do. I can see it. Praise God. He said, "I ain't that sanctified." Can you say amen? You don't push my woman down and take the key and go in my house. Fact is, you ain't even going to push that woman down. There's going to be a fight. Isn't there going to be a fight, Brother Cow? The cow knows there's going to be a fight. But in that courtroom, when I looked over at this little guy, and I really don't believe he understood the gravity of his situation. He had pleaded innocent and had a court-appointed lawyer. And they had a stack of evidence that just, listen, you can plead innocent all you want, but the devil's got a stack of evidence. Not just sins of commission, but sins of omission. Not just actions, but attitudes. Can you say amen? And you know what? The Bible said in Revelation chapter 12 that just like he did with Job, he's doing with us this very day. It said that now is the accuser Diabolos, maligner. Amen. Now is the accuser of our brethren. Every Christian is under his accusation. Can you say amen? Now is the accuser of our brethren is cast down. God won't let him stand in his court and point his finger. The accuser of our brethren is cast down that accused them before God. How consistently? Day and night. Hallelujah. But in God's courtroom, there's an advocate. And he presents his scars in our behalf. Amen. And it doesn't matter how thick the stack of evidence at that point. Amen. Hallelujah. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The cross and the resurrection tied together. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And listen to this. The word of their testimony. How many in here was lost before you got saved? Then you have a testimony. Tell it. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And the Bible said if we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead and confess that with our mouth, God's going to honor that because that's the truth. And we are saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen. And I want to tell you something else when you pray. Don't just show God your faith. Let him know that you understand that the reason he answers your prayer is because of his grace and his mercy. You will never merit an answer to prayer. That's why you come before the throne of grace, to receive grace and mercy to help you in the time of your need. How does grace and mercy help you get an answer? It opens a door for God to move. Because you could never present your perfection, but you can present your perfect sacrifice. And that's the blood of Jesus. Oh, some of you, when I pray for you personally, I know it's rough and I know the devil's made an inroad. And I plead, not just out of my heart for you, but I plead the blood for you. Can you say amen? The blood of Abel spoke to God, didn't it? The blood of the first murdered man on this planet cried from the ground for justice. God said, the blood of your brother is crying unto me for justice. But the blood of Jesus speaks as well. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, the blood of Jesus cries for mercy. Hallelujah. 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 So when you really get up against it, plead. The blood of Jesus Christ. It's biblical to do that. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 If we were going to cast the devil out this morning, and someone came for deliverance, we would start singing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We wouldn't just use our authority or the authority of his name. We would plead the power of the blood. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Because the person is probably made some bad decisions that's allowed the enemy that inroad. But the blood of Jesus provides a mercy and a grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be his name. So they overcame him by the word, the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, Revelation chapter 12. And there's a third ingredient. It involves our devotion to Christ. Our devotion to Jesus. Not just emotion, but real heartfelt devotion to Jesus. They loved not their own life, even to the death. They said, whatever it takes, I won't give up Christ. I will not turn back. I will not give in to the devil. I'll plead the blood. I'll testify to the fact that through that blood I am saved. Can you say amen? Everybody that God has ever saved has a testimony. And those testimonies don't have to be elaborate. My wife put her testimony up on her Facebook page, and she asked me to read it to see if it was okay. And I was trying to tell her it was better than okay. It was very good. And someone put a comment that go way back to a guy that I went to school with. His daughter put a comment already. It brought her to tears. Just reading a simple testimony. Your testimony is powerful stuff. And the word of your testimony, hold fast. This is not to get your Escalade now. You'll have to do that some other way. This is not about the material world. Amen. I'm not telling you God won't give you something. I'm just telling you that this is not about that. When in the context of hold fast, your profession of faith is the faith that was delivered to the saints. It's the gospel, it's the blood, it's the cross, it's the confession, it's the testimony that I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Hold fast your profession of faith. And you know what profession means? Confession in the Greek. And you know what confession means in the Greek? It means to say the same thing as another. That means if God says you're forgiven because of the blood of His Son, what more shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Can you say amen? There goes the guilt. There goes the shame. There goes the accusation. Wow! Your conscience can be cleansed. The enemy will have to take his old finger and put it in his pocket. If I can find one. They sew them up on your coats these days. Amen. You'll have to put it in here and walk away with his head down because you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So every church in America that is a true church preaching the true gospel has people in it with a testimony of what God's grace has brought them through. They have one side, they have another side, and we've got just a little bit of that today as we get ready to close. Some churches, they start a tradition. People with a testimony write it on a piece of cardboard. Just a piece of cardboard. Where they were, what God brought them through when they turned it over. And just this simple little testimony, Dale. It speaks. It speaks. To people hurting, people going through things, people that look like there's no answer for them. They say that, oh, you mean Christians have been through that and God did that? You mean Christians have been there and God did that? You mean Christians have been here? Yeah, Christians have been everywhere. Can you say amen? The Bible spoke of all the sins that can befall man. It said, and such were some of you. But now you are washed. You are sanctified. And you are justified, forensic term. I didn't, if I had voted, I would have had in good conscience, I'd had to vote guilty. But I actually felt sorry for the guy. Amen. I'm telling you, if it had been my wife or my house, I'd have probably been the first one on the guy. But in there, somehow or another, I looked at that poor little guy and I thought, he's going to do some time. There ain't no way he's getting out of this. There's no mercy here for him. No mercy at all. And I thought about God's justice. And I said, thank you for the mercy. Yeah. Amen. I prayed for that little guy. I prayed he'd come to know Christ as his Savior. I prayed that his life would change, that he would meet the Master. Can you say amen? God is such a good God. And fortunately, I was an alternate juror, so I didn't even get to vote. They sent me home when they sequestered them for the vote and said, you were alternates. We don't need you anymore. And I thought, that's good because I'm done here. Hallelujah. I don't like to sit in judgment except of doctrine and the right and wrong of things, but not of people. I leave that to a more merciful one than me. Can you say, man, that knows a lot more than I know about the heart and the circumstance? Praise God. Amen. Let's just pray. Praise God. How many appreciate testimonies when you see what God has done and is doing in people's hearts and lives? Let's just rejoice with these people before we close this service today. Hallelujah. Thank you. It's all because He loves this church. I didn't give it to you. You can't play it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. for bringing us through everything that we face through the grace, through the love that Jesus has for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Tell somebody when you have the opportunity what the Lord has done for you. Tell it simply and sincerely. God will use it and use you in a mighty way. Oh, how He loves you, and oh, how He loves me today. How many have hope in your heart for yourself and for loved ones and for people you know? God is still flowing through that throne of grace to this fall. Where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. And that grace is flowing today. I'm committed to the radio broadcast to minister that grace to the website. Doug is committed to putting over 1,300 sermons on that website spanning 40 years of ministry. And Brother Taylor, you've added to that number with your sermons. And Sean, you got sermons up on there. Listen, it's up on there. Praise God. Why? Because God's grace is flowing to this old fallen world and hurting people. Praise God. How many are glad you came here to celebrate resurrection today? Hallelujah. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? I want us to sing this song together. You probably know it. Amen. And did I hand it to you? I did. All right. Let's worship with brothers and sisters from another church, but they're our brothers and sisters out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. This is Northland Church. Let's worship with them as we celebrate a closing prayer in just a moment. Thank you for coming today. Every one of you, so beloved of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anyone here without Christ as your Savior, would you please come? At any time during this song that the Lord prompts you, would you please just step out and come? Anyone here away from God, you want to come home to the Father's house, just step out and come. Let Him draw you. Let Him do it. Jesus is still in the soul-saving business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hear the heart of heaven beating. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the hush of mercy breathing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the host of angels sing. The newborn King, and the sounding joy repeating, Jesus saves. See the humblest hearts adore Him. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, and the wisest bow before Him. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. See the sky alive with praise, melting darkness in its blaze. There is life forevermore in Jesus saves.
Hallelujah.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves. He will die our burden bearing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Thank you. Jesus.
Let it play in sickness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your crucifixion. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Resurrection Sunday 2013. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for the hope. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you. I'll tell you something that Dr. Oz won't ever tell you on television. Nehemiah, chapter 8, Ezra, the high priest, after they repented, he said, "Go and eat the fat and drink the sweet, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Can you say amen? So go and eat the fat and drink the sweet and enjoy Jesus today. No service tonight. You'll be too full and I'll be too tired. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Couch, thank you for the great dinner you brought us. It's in our trunk. Hallelujah. And speaking of couches, that's where I'm headed after I eat that big meal. Soul food, I'm telling you. Better than anything you get in a restaurant, I guarantee. Hallelujah. God is good. Shake somebody's hand. Say happy resurrection to them before you leave, will you? Hallelujah. God bless you today.